Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Lloyds Pharmacy. Your choice of pharmacy and your everyday healthcare partner.
Lloyds Pharmacy. Now that's better.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. 51551 is our text number. Michael, good afternoon. You're in Dublin, North Dublin. Your mother was recently widowed, and what happened?
She was approached by a couple of volunteers working for the local parish fundraising committee, and they canvassed her. She agreed to make a donation, which she's, you know, well able to make that decision and, you know, well entitled to make that decision. But I just have a couple of concerns about the whole process. I think one is the letter from the parish priest was suggesting a donation of €1,000 a year for 5 years, which, I mean, in my mind, that's a lot of money to be asking for.
It says, I invite you to prayerfully consider making a pledge of €1,000 per year for the next 5 years.
Yeah, well, consider, but, you know, if you're a churchgoer, an offer to consider from a parish priest probably has more weight than from you or me, Joe. The other concern would be, I mean, my mother, as I said, she's well able to make up her own mind about these things, but she is in her 80s. She was widowed a few months ago, so, I mean, any of us would be in a vulnerable position if we lost our life partner of 50-odd years in the last couple of months. You know, the volunteers should have known this, and they probably did know it.
Well, did they call at every house, Michael?
This I don't know. I only know the story about what my mother did. And
because in the same letter it says the parish is looking for 300,000 within, they want 300,000, they hope, 300,000 pledged within the next 12 weeks.
But
that means that on that rate, prayerfully considering 1,000 a year for the next 5 years, they only want 60 people out of the whole parish, and they have the 300 grand at that rate.
Yeah, as I said, it just seems like a lot of money to be asking for. My other concern as well is the way it was presented. There was a very glossy brochure with the Joy of the Gospel, which is a kind of teaching initiative, teaching initiative by Pope Francis. And inside this, there was the letter from the parish priest with the official diocese Joy of the Gospel letterhead on it. And just doing a quick Google on what the Joy of the Gospel is about, there's nothing about it being associated with fundraising. So I'm kind of uncomfortable about linking in fundraising with, you know, church teaching or church prayer activities.
The fundraising campaign is being organised and undertaken with the assistance of international fundraising firm CCS. I don't know who they are.
Yeah, and I think the diocese have appointed a special priest to oversee this fundraising initiative.
And the idea is to help train lay parish workers, support priests, and promote vocations.
Mm.
And if you're a Catholic, that's a reasonable aspiration, is it not?
I'm not accusing anyone.
Okay, so Michael, let's go back then, because we had this issue before about older people, especially on the doorstep, being asked about money on the doorstep, and indeed it came up. A number of people made a suggestion that there should be a law, as people do suggest every now and again, forbidding anyone to sign up to anything on the doorstep. Did they actually come into the house? What do you know about the sequence?
They called around with the brochure and the request for a donation. And these would have been parish volunteers. My mother would have known them.
Mm-hmm. But they've been our neighbours.
Yes, they would be neighbours, yeah.
Younger neighbours.
I don't,
same age? Well,
I'd imagine the same age, Joe.
Did she feel vulnerable? Are you feeling vulnerable on her behalf, Michael?
No. She's just vulnerable because she's recently widowed, as any of us would be. But she's well able to make up her own mind. And, you know,
by the way, did she make a pledge?
She did, yes.
Oh, did she? Yeah, fair play.
Yeah. And as I said, she's well able to make her own decisions, but there'd be lots of, you know, people in their 80s who wouldn't be as capable of as my mother of deciding for themselves, especially with, you know, if it's a church thing from the parish priest, there's inevitable moral pressure there, I think.
Can I ask another question? I'm sorry that your mother was widowed. Obviously, that means your father died, whatever, recently.
Yeah.
Was he buried in the parish?
He was, yeah.
Is it within the last year?
Oh, end of February.
Well, it's the last few months, okay. Mm. Now, Michael, again, a straight question. Did you believe your mother... This is the wrong way to put it, but targeting is the wrong word, but you know what I mean. Do you believe your mother was targeted as somebody who's recently widowed and might not be vulnerable, but might be in a situation where she has an insurance policy or something, I don't know.
It's possible, Joe, but I really wouldn't want to accuse anyone of that.
Is your mother well known in the church?
She would be.
She's a church goer.
Yeah.
Okay. You see, we asked, because it is a fundraising campaign, I presume the church are looking for publicity for it, and we asked the church, the Dublin Diocese, a good few hours ago at this stage, could they supply someone to talk to you? Not to talk to me, to talk to you. You're the one raising the issues. And they haven't so far, which is surprising, because I presume the priests who are, or whoever's organising, are in Dublin. And I presume because it is fundraising, one of the things they do want is publicity.
That's what struck me as curious, because, as I said, if you Google the joy of the gospel and fundraising, you get nothing. And
oh, it doesn't come up in that?
The joy of the gospel doesn't seem to have anything to do with fundraising, apart from the Dublin Diocese. So I wonder how Pope Francis thinks about this. Maybe I should give him a call. He's known to answer his phone at times.
Only if he's ordering a pizza or whatever. But you're saying that in this brochure, Living the Joy of the Gospel, which is building our community of faith, you're saying this letter was slipped into it or attached to it or...
This letter was kind of in the folder with the glossy brochure, yeah.
Okay, thank you for meeting with a member of my volunteer team today regarding Living the Joy of the Gospel, one of the most important, I'm reading from the letter that's inserted, one of the most important initiatives in our parish's long history. Apparently only four parishes in Dublin are doing it, and looking at the parishes, they would be fairly settled middle-class parishes. I believe Living the Joy of the Priest goes on. I believe Living the Joy of the Gospel presents a wonderful opportunity for our Catholic community here in the area and right across Dublin. It identifies responsibilities and we rightly share with all parishes by building up our faith community, developing strong parish leadership teams, supporting vocations, continuing education of priests. Then it gets into money. Here in this area, this special undertaking will allow us to upgrade our parish hall, invest in liturgical music to enhance the quality of our Sunday celebration of the Eucharist, to achieve this and to play our part in living the joy of the gospel. We've established a 300,000 five-year goal to be raised in pledges over the next 12 weeks. Now, in fairness, Andrew O'Sullivan, who's I presume Father Andrew O'Sullivan, is Episcopal Vicar. He is for financial development. Father Andrew O'Sullivan, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
How are you?
I'm also parish priest.
Oh, very good.
I'm Sandyford, Kilternan.
Oh, okay.
I've just come off. I've just come in from a 10K run, so I'm a little out of breath.
Okay.
So forgive me.
Okay. Very good. I don't know. Did you hear Michael's concerns?
I'm sorry, I haven't heard it.
Okay,
thing, so.
Briefly, as the fellow said, his recently widowed mother, was asked to pledge 1,000 over the next 5 years. He felt, and this was in the context of Living the Joy of the Gospel, this document, and he feels it's a little bit unfair to ask a recently widowed woman to, or widowed man, woman, to, he felt she was vulnerable, to make a pledge. Where did this figure of 1,000 come from?
Well, I suppose I need to put it a little bit into context firstly, because essentially the diocese over the last number of years, like everybody else during the recession, has had to tighten its belt in a number of areas, and we've had a series of sort of cost-cutting measures for staff, clergy, everybody else. And then we've been looking at a whole suite of fundraising initiatives. So this whole campaign really came from, in 2013, recognising the need that we had needed to revitalise ourselves going forward and how to resource our parishes going forward, because we have 199 parishes, Joe, and so sustainability going forward is not possible unless we actually do something new to try and, we have a new thing called parish groupings. So, for example, my own parish was joined with another parish, Ballally, just before Christmas.
Yeah.
And the idea there is that we will have, with the shrinking number of clergy, we'll be able to make sure that we have clergy for those new groupings. And then also that we'll have lay ministry, as in lay parish pastoral workers, parish catechists and so forth. And they cost money, but they're absolutely necessary for the church in Dublin if we're to go forward. And then also to help priests upskill, and then obviously to encourage vocations to the priesthood. So we had a consultation process across five deaneries. Over 120 priests were interviewed, over 150 lay people involved in parishes, parish finance committees, parish pastoral councils. And out of that came the three pillars of the campaign. The first pillar, supporting the local parish. The second pillar, lay ministry. And then the third pillar, helping support priests who are in ministry and are a diminishing number, and also encouraging vocations. So that's the logic behind it. Now, it is a new initiative. We're very much in a pilot phase, so we're very much in a learning phase. At the moment, there are 10 parishes who are active. And what we're finding is that the priests on the ground, with some lay people helping them, are meeting people, and it's been received very well, very positively so far.
Well, then,
We do have a huge amount of protocols which are constantly changing as we're learning things. And one thing we certainly do want to avoid is anyone of any age who's in any way vulnerable. We certainly do not intend to put them under any pressure.
Why, this is Michael's point, why did you, and you use the word specifically, in this letter it says specifically, I invite you to prayerfully consider making a pledge of 1,000 per year for each of the next 5 years, totaling 5,000. Who picked that figure out of the air? That means only 60 people in every... If the target is 300,000, that means you're only looking for 60 people to pledge.
Well, that's certainly one way of looking at it, but it's certainly not our intention to do that. I've always been from the school of Obama. So when Obama was being elected for the first time, he tried to spread the burden across. And I'm very conscious as a priest that we rely heavily on our mass-goers who are constantly being asked constantly to give. And there's a much broader spectrum in our parish who avail of our services and don't always.
But Obama, Andrew, looked for $5, not 5,000 euro.
No, but we're not targeting anybody. And the figures are basically worked out with the help of people doing the fundraising campaign and in the local parish.
So is 1,000 is the 5,000 in every letter?
No, it's not. No.
So it's geared to who?
Well, the 5,000 has been used as a sort of average to see how people respond to that. Now, most people, we say to people, look, this is only an invitation. You are free and under no pressure whatsoever. Because some people obviously don't have the money. Some people have enough financial worries and strains, and that's fine. We're only asking people, if they are in the position to give, then we're asking them to give to this campaign because it helps these pillars. It helps us as a church to go forward.
Michael, do you want to respond to that?
I completely see that the church needs to raise money, and you know it's entitled to raise money. I mean, just a side point there, if they're targeting people who don't normally go to Mass and make donations at Mass, then I'd suggest my mother would be the last person to target, because she's, you know, never missed a Sunday Mass in her life.
Sure.
The whole thing about suggesting and all that, but as I said, one of my concerns was, you know, approaching an 80-year-old widow and et cetera at that point. The other one is rolling in this fundraising thing with the Papal Teaching Initiative. I mean, those things seem completely different to me.
Well, that's, I think, where, you know, a new vision, you know, we're going beyond the old traditional thing of every parish being for itself and you raise money for a parish roof. What we're saying going forward is, in fact, the parish roof is important, but it's only important if we actually
the
roof.
The share collection.
But the whole idea, Joe, is going forward, we have to have financial resources. I mean, in the end of the
course.
Day,
oh,
the
that's electricity, a given. Yeah, the electricity absolutely,
bills,
absolutely.
All the bills
that's,
have to
that's,
be paid.
That's not disputed, Andrew. But the share collection, the name is a giveaway. It is a sharing collection among the dais, isn't that correct?
Goes yes, but with a decreasing mass attendance, the share collection
okay.
has fallen over the last
I understand that, but it is the well-off parishes, to use that awful phrase, help the less well-off parishes. Isn't that correct?
Yes.
To the share.
Yeah,
now, the
yeah,
second
yeah.
thing I'm unclear of, is the yeah. figure €1,000 up to five over 5 years, is that in every single letter?
No, it's not.
Well, how is it calibrated?
We try to calibrate it because we're only piloting, so we're trying out different
things. No. I know you're piloting. How do you decide how much you ask from different parishioners?
We work on the basis of the information that we already have. So we carry out a parish census before we begin this. So for 2 Sundays before this campaign is launched in any parish, we do a parish census. And then we try and gauge the type of the parish that it is, if asking people to consider an amount, but it's only a consideration.
No, but how do you decide the different figures in each letter?
We decide in terms on the local level, in terms of the parish itself.
It's not the parish. No, are you saying everyone in the parish gets the same letter?
Everybody who's on our database that we have would get a letter, yes.
Would they get the same prayerfully consider amount?
Yes.
Now, hang on, you said something different to me a few minutes ago, so you want to clarify. You were saying everyone is getting a letter saying, please make
we're
a pledge.
Asking them to please prayerfully consider a certain amount.
No, is it always €1,000?
No, it's not.
Okay,
no.
So
no.
This is a nosy Parker's charter. No census of any parish tells you, or any census of state census tells you how much people have. Isn't that correct?
No, exactly.
Okay,
yes.
So people are guessing how much each parishioner might be able to pay.
Well, we're not. It's none of my business or anyone else's.
So why are you suggesting a certain figure if it's none of your business, Andrew? Anyone's business.
But you know what I'm saying. It's none of my business as to a person's financial, how much they have or how much they don't have.
Who picked the €1,000? Who picked the €5,000 for this woman?
Essentially, the campaign did.
So they knew
but
something.
We're not,
so no,
we're
no,
not.
No, stay there. So they knew yes. something about this. They guessed something about this woman.
No, we didn't guess anything.
What do you know about this woman that came up with the €5,000 figure?
Well, I don't know who this lady is, so I can't really answer.
No,
that.
But someone. But why wasn't it €100? It's how €50.
The campaign is piloting the idea of asking people for quite a large figure in terms of to try and get people to realise that we really need to
told us that this is not a pro forma letter. This letter is calibrated by locals, and as we heard from Michael, it wasn't a priest who called to his mother's house. It's his neighbours who called to his mother's house, who were involved in
yes,
the parish.
Yes, but they would have only called his mother's house after they received a letter from the parish saying that they were going
but
to
But who
call.
Picked the figure?
We don't do doorstepping.
Who picked the figure?
The campaign has picked the figure.
Who is the campaign? Does it involve this woman's neighbours?
No. Well, it involves them insofar as we're deliberately asked people locally, you know, to please point out to us if somebody is vulnerable or somebody we shouldn't call to, somebody whom we shouldn't contact. Like, we don't want to go and put anyone who's in any way vulnerable.
Do you think, Andrew, from your ministry
yes.
and your PP
yes.
of an active PP of a big parish there in South Dublin, do you think somebody who's been recently widowed has any vulnerability in terms of?
Oh, I do, Joe. And
okay.
I, to be honest
so,
with you, look,
so,
it,
so,
I,
so, so that's
we're,
also
we're happy to look at this initiative. It is only an initiative that's been piloted. We're very happy to look at these concerns that have been raised, and we will deal with them. That was never the plan.
Somebody came up with a plan, Andrew. Somebody came up with a plan where they sat down and said, "Okay, we will decide and differentiate and calibrate the letter on the basis of what we know about that person or that household. Isn't that correct?
It's more correct to say that we're trying to do it parish to parish, and every parish, as you know,
no, but you're doing
is
it
very,
house.
Very different.
You only need 60 people to come up with 300 grand. So therefore, there is an issue of targeting here.
We've liaised now. This project with 10 parishes so far, and we've liaised with over 5,000 families.
But my point is, you've told me, and I didn't know this from the letter, that this is not approved. There are different amounts put in different letters for different people. So somebody this is not a lottery. Somebody decides, somebody sits down and says, number 42 might be able to pay a grand, number 57 might be able to pay 50 euro. How do you come to those conclusions?
We base that on essentially local. It's based on local knowledge.
It's based on nosy parkers.
No, it's not nosy parkers.
It's based on someone saying, that woman has been recently widowed, she may have an insurance policy.
No, we would never, ever do anything like that.
That's actually quite unjust. Okay, is 1,000 the highest amount you would ever ask for?
We, as a church, are always there for anybody in any sort of trouble.
But is 1,000 the max annual pledge over five grand over 5 years? Is that the max, or are the letters going out looking for more than 1,000?
Well, I mean, I had somebody recently who I asked to consider making a gift of 1,000 over 5 years, which is 5,000, as you say, and that person said to me, well, actually, Father, I can do more than that, and they pledged 10,000 over 5 years, so they
brilliant,
pledged 50,000.
Brilliant.
So that's the other side of it. So, all I want to reiterate here is we simply will do everything we can to avoid putting anybody under any pressure, and also that this initiative is very much a new initiative. We're learning as we go, and I can assure people who are listening, there is no way that we want anyone to be under any pressure. This is a good initiative insofar as it is...
In terms of its outcome for the church, of course it is. Anyone interested in the church would not doubt that on the basis of what you described, Andrew. I know we're all human, but we're all adults as well, and we've been around the block a good few times. Most priests in Dublin that I've spoken to are very on the ball, and they know why. Who came up with the idea of putting a specific amount over a specific period with a ticking clock into the request? Was that this American fundraising firm, CCS?
Yes, well, they're helping us. They're assisting us doing that.
And did they come up with that idea?
They would have, yes.
Because it's worked?
Yeah. Okay. Well, they have worked across the world in Catholic dioceses and indeed with other religions, but they're the professionals, so we're listening to them.
Now I see a call here, and we're trying to get it back. In fairness, a man in Haddington Road saying he gladly he got the letter and he gladly participated, which is what you're saying, Andrew. Michael, given that it's now clear that the church somebody in your mother's parish decided that 5,000 would be within her means, so to speak, if she decided. What do you think of that?
I still think it's a lot of money to ask without, the fundraisers insisting on, an old person living alone, talking it over with their family or something like that. And, is there an assurance that won't happen again?
Yes, there is, Michael. I can assure you of that, we very much encourage that. We ask people to please talk it over with their family members.
Can I just bring up my other concern?
That's not in the letter, by the way, Andrew.
It is in the new letters. You see, we're constantly adapting because we're learning as we go, Joe.
But you hired one of the biggest fundraising firms in the world based in America, and they didn't think of putting that into the old letter. I hope you're getting value for money off them.
I hope so too,
Just another thing, Joe, on the fundraising consultancy on their American site, they say that the cost of their consultancy would be between 3-6% of the amount raised.
Andrew, are you mad? Andrew, is the Dublin Diocese out of its mind hiring a company on the basis of a percentage commission?
A
They don't say commission, Joe. They just say the cost of their...
Is that true, Andrew, in your case? I'm asking a question.
Oh, no, it's not true in our case because we're very much only at a pilot stage.
But how are the American fundraising company being paid?
They're being paid by us, essentially a flat fee.
A flat fee with a calibration of commission?
No, flat fee.
Flat fee, okay.
Yeah.
Can I just go back to my other concern, Joe, about rolling in the fundraising initiative with Pope Francis's teaching document? It seems a bit odd.
Do you want me to answer that?
Please, Andrew. Yeah, you can't answer
My thing is the joy of the... I don't see it as odd at all because the joy of the gospel is just that. It's the joy of the gospel. And in order for us as a church going forward, we have to live the joy of the gospel by taking the gospel to our own hearts. Part of that is fundraising because we need to resource ourselves going forward. And in order to carry out the mission of the church, we need financial resources. So there's no point, that's being adult about it. We need to money in order to do new programs and catechesis, and especially our parish pastoral worker program, which is wonderful. And the fact is, we need to pay those people a living wage. So if people think that, it's just, we want this aspect of the church, but we don't want to pay for it, well, we're saying, well, look, we can give you a better service, but we do have to financially resource that service going forward. That's just the reality of life, unfortunately. But money is a tool. That's all it is.
I know the answer is we've exhausted every other way, but the question people would throw, is there any way you could sell church property, church buildings, church space?
Well, you see, that raises a whole other issue, which is, a lot of people look at us and say, like, why don't you sell church buildings? But the fact is, on paper, they're seen to worth a lot of money. That's true. But actually, they're in many ways they're burdens because they provide facilities in parishes that we need. Mm-hmm. But we constantly put money into them, keep them up. My church here is 1829. We have to constantly put money into that year on, in order to keep them open and keep them in good condition.
Andrew,
we can't sell them because they're not. They're in a real sense they're actually liabilities.
But why? Well, all the monstrosities that were built—sorry, that's the wrong word—but all the very, very big, nondescript churches that were built around Dublin. I'm not talking about 1829. I'm talking about 1960s, 70s, which are.
Oh, well, if you saw my church, Joe, you'd know it was beautiful.
I can imagine. I can only imagine. I think I do know it. And there's some beautiful churches around the city, and we're blessed with them. But is there any way they could be downsized?
Well, you see, the fact is, this is the new reality that we face. We're looking at all of these things. There's a whole sweep of things that we need to look at going forward because our numbers are shrinking, and so that in itself is, number of knock-ons.
Yeah.
So, yes, I mean, the answer to that question is yes, all of that has to be looked at. I mean, those churches, some of the larger churches were built for a very different time. And, the irony is then some of the smaller churches are bursting at the seams, and we have parishes that are bursting at the seams. My own parish here is bursting with young families. So we're booking a trend in some ways, which is great.
What is the relationship with this American fundraising firm, CCS?
What do you mean by that?
Have they been over here?
Well, they're based. They're an American firm, but they have an Irish office.
Okay.
So who work with us are actually Irish people. They're all from Dublin.
And then who decides? This is what I'm trying to find out. Who decided that this woman, Michael's mother, was chosen for a 5,000 euro pledge? Prayerfully consider making a pledge of 5,000 euro. Who made that decision?
Well, I suppose ultimately that decision was made in terms of how to approach that particular parish. And
we're talking about an individual. Because we've now established that there are different letters even within the one parish.
Well, it would be the fundraiser who's on the ground there.
Would CCS be involved in that?
Yes, yes.
Well, what are the ethics of letting an American fundraising, even the data protection ethics, of allowing an American fundraising firm access to that data?
No,
because obviously it's based on some data.
No, we're very aware of data protection and we're absolutely in compliance with data protection. It's not. we're in compliance with data protection. We've been very careful on that, and we've been we're constantly, as I've said already, we're constantly reevaluating and updating our protocols and the oversight committee who are looking at this.
Has this form of fundraising, pledging over a specific time period and different amounts asked of different people, has this been used in other countries?
Yes. And it's been used in the Archdiocese of Armagh. They've just finished a campaign in Westminster, and it's been used in many other countries. Yes.
Okay. Catherine's in Roscommon, 51551. Catherine, you're in the Diocese of Westminster.
I am, yes.
Okay. Were you aware of this campaign?
I was, yes.
And what was the reaction there?
And I'm totally against it. I think it's, for a start, I think it's appalling that they have got an American company doing it. And basically, like this lady who has been targeted, she has been a member of her church for probably all of her life. So she has paid over and over and over the odds for being a member of that church. And you're asked, you go in to your priest and you have this spiel that you have to listen to on the computer. And then they ask you, would you be prepared to donate like we were, £5, 5,000 over 5 years. We already give an on-planned giving every week. And we've been members of this church for over 40 years. So, like her, I feel we've done our bit. And I think it is so wrong that they then want you to go out into the parish and get 10 people. And the only way I can see how this lady was targeted it was that they look at their address, they look at her, and they think, well, she's obviously got some money, let's target her for 5,000. And I know you can, at any time, stop your direct debit, but I just think it's... to call it that it's growing in faith. It's no more growing in faith. It's pyramid selling. And I think it's a really bad way
for
the Catherine,
nobody has mentioned here that people in a parish were asked to get 10 other people.
Well, we had that.
Okay. Does that happen here? Is Andrew gone? Is the line gone? He's gone. The line gone or he's gone? Okay, we'll try and get him back. We'll try and get an answer to that. In fairness now to Andrew, Father Andrew, Episcopal Vicar, there's no suggestion, as far as I know, Michael, anyway, Catherine's the first woman, that in England, the same scheme, people were asked to get 10 neighbours to, so to speak, fellow parishioners. And there's no indication about the different, how the different amounts are arrived at. Okay, 51551, Greece after this, 51551.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And again, the results of that 10-minute text poll. Should Ireland pay and participate in a third Greek bailout? 66% said no. Over 5,000 people voted. Deirdre, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
Did you get one of these letters, Living the Joy?
No, I had a call, a very polite call to the house, and making an arrangement to call. And they called, and we sat down, my husband and I, in a very, very nice way, and we discussed this, what is the word? The joy of the gospel.
Living the joy of the gospel.
Living the joy of the gospel. And a lady and a gentleman presented the case to us that the future of the church, there were very few priests, and that the diocese needed the money.
And were you asked to contribute a specific amount, Deirdre?
No, absolutely not.
And who came up with the figure?
It was on a form, like you said, which said that, you know, that there could be a contribution up to 1,000. It is a totally confidential amount.
Okay, but where did you receive a letter? Sorry, there might be a radio on the background. Did you receive a letter saying, I specifically invite you to prayerfully consider making a pledge of 1,000 per year?
Yes.
You did get that?
I did. Okay. There was a letter from our parish priest. And but we were sending back the amount and the form back to the diocese.
Okay, and it wasn't, you're saying you felt that was
we were given the document, they went away, the fundraisers, let's call them, they went away, they came back they called back and said, were we happy, you know, that they would call back.
That's fair enough.
The whole thing was totally polite. There was no pressure.
And how do you pay the money, can I ask?
We're paying by standing order.
Standing order, okay.
And
are you aware that other people in the parish were asked for the same?
No, because neighbours of mine weren't asked.
And why were you asked?
I have no idea, and I don't mind that I know,
you understand. Totally, you understand. But do your neighbours, insofar as you know...
I didn't ask.
No, I know that...
But, I haven't asked them.
But do they go to Mass? Do they participate?
I'd say lots of them don't. And we are committed Catholics, and we're happy to help our church, which, as we all know, is in difficulty. Firstly,
okay, and you were happy to do it, and as you say, you felt it was totally above board.
Absolutely, and no pressure.
Okay, that's well said.
Nobody but me knows how much we gave.
Okay, let me bring in Mary Morrissey. Mary is in Glasnevin in North Dublin. Mary, good afternoon.
Hello, Joe.
How much were you asked to give, Mary?
I was asked to prayerfully consider making a pledge of €2 a day, €60 a month, over the next 5 years, totaling €3,650.
And how did it come up with that figure?
Your guess is as good as mine.
Did you? Because I have a letter here saying I ask you to prayerfully consider making a pledge, not per day, which is an easy way of putting it, to consider making a pledge of €1,000 per year.
Well, that's exactly how it is quoted in my letter.
You were asked
€2
to make
a day,
it
€2 a month,
yeah,
or €3,650 over 5 years. Now, I got the letter yesterday.
Was your belief, Mary, and all our beliefs can be wrong, but was your belief that everyone was being given the same letter?
I totally assumed that until I heard your earlier caller today.
Is it your belief that every parishioner was given a letter?
I have absolutely no idea again. Now, I do, some relatives of mine live in the same parish, but they haven't as yet received a letter. Now, I did only get it yesterday. But it says in the final paragraph that a volunteer will follow up with you to answer any questions you may have and hopefully confirm your support.
And how do you feel about it now?
I certainly feel very put out, to be quite honest.
Why?
I don't approve of the whole thing, particularly since I learned that not the same letter is obviously not going to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And the only conclusion, because I'm not generally known in the parish,
okay,
I've been only here for about a year, I wouldn't be known to the clergy, I wouldn't be known to the parish council or any other parish members. When I do go down to Mass, I wouldn't be known by anybody, literally, in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm assuming that the only reason I got the letter was I was there 1 week recently when they were taking a parish census, which asked everybody in the church to fill out their name and address and telephone number and that.
What was the purpose?
Which I did that.
What was the purpose of the parish census?
I'm not quite sure I remember at the time, but during, literally in the middle of Mass, somebody went around with these forms.
But what was, okay. So the only difference between a parish census and an electoral register or whatever is they were establishing who goes to Mass.
Yes, I would think so. Yeah, okay. I would think so.
Were you asked anything else in that form, do you remember? And they're perfectly entitled to hand out a form and ask.
My memory of it is, it was name, address, mm-hmm, telephone number, email address, if you had one, and any services that you might be prepared to offer to the parish.
Okay.
You know, it went from, it listed kind of
so
a
that
few
was
examples,
that was
gathering, you know, with gardening or keeping property or cleaning or that type of thing.
So that was the purpose when it said we're handing out this form, and the reason we're handing out this form is to let you tell us if you want to help in any way in terms of the flowers or cleaning or gardening or... Is that correct?
I would have thought so, yeah.
Okay.
No, it is a few weeks back and I...
Okay, was there any...
I don't think there was any indication that they would be... It would be used for the purpose of fundraising or anything like that.
Was there? Not that you can remember?
Not that I can remember,
okay.
No.
And in fairness, did they ask... are there any services you would like in the parish, like old folks
no,
groups?
No, it was quite brief. Mother. It was just a small quarter-sized sheet of paper.
Okay. Stay with us for one sec. 51551.
Yo, Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Father Joe MacDonald's in Ballyfermot, St. Matthew's Parish in Dublin. Joe, I presume you're aware of this campaign. You know the reason why it's there. I'm very short on time. What do you think of this notion that different people in different parishes are being asked for different amount of money?
Joe, the point is, you know, I don't have the expertise that Andrew has in it because he has a responsibility for it that I don't have. But as far as I understand, it's a trial, it's a pilot scheme.
No. We know all that, Joe. I have a minute left. I'm asking you a straight question. What you do have, Joe, is what Andrew has and we all have is a brain, thank God. What do you think of the fact that the church is seems to be targeting different people in different areas for different pledges of money?
I think that's fitting and appropriate.
Why?
Well, I mean, I would not like to be asking people who are on the dole, for example.
No, that's not what we're talking about. But different people are being asked for different amounts, up to, it seems, €1,000.
Is it not appropriate to ask people who have it to give it? I would have thought that was prudent.
Is it appropriate to indicate a figure on different letters, different figure on different letters?
Well, bearing in mind it's a suggestion and it's an invitation that can be either altered or actually rejected, I wouldn't have a problem with it.
But who comes up with the different figures for different people?
I'm not aware how it works internally. I mean, I presume the first step is to find out who are coming to Mass, because we'd be asking Catholics.
That's the census.
Well, that's the first step. That's how you get your core group. They're the people you go to first. I mean, to go to people who are not coming to Mass, you're going to irritate them.
Okay, I know that. But how... You're saying it's inappropriate that different people should be asked for different amounts.
No, I'm not. I'm saying it's appropriate.
Oh, it is appropriate. Sorry, I thought you were...
I'm saying it's appropriate and prudent.
And how do you think the parish knows how to come up with a figure for different households?
I'm not sure how that works, but again, just looking at our own situation here, we would have some idea already of that in terms of the planned giving. You know, I'd have a rough idea where to start with it if it was being implemented in St. Matthew's.
And do you know from the planned giving what each household gives?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought it was all...
Well, and not only that, but, you know, wherever that's given, it should be acknowledged and acknowledged in detail so that people hear a thank you for what they give.
And in the share collection, you don't get a receipt saying, thanks for giving us...
No, well, share is different. The first collection in the parish is different, so is share. But in terms of planned giving,
In terms of balance, in terms of for and against, you're for the idea, so...
Yeah.
Okay, thanks indeed. 51551 continues. Angus McInally produced, and Ray Darcy is next.